Acoustic moments last week, if you were at the other service, it was big, it was loud, it was energetic, but there's also something very special about these moments, and so it's just great to be able to worship you together. And if you were not in your, in the beginning, my name is Trevor Kaufman. I'm the campus pastor here. Last week, we were at the McKinley campus celebrating 61 baptisms, many of which were from this campus, and today we're back together, and today we're focusing specifically on our graduates. This is the Sunday we kind of acknowledge them and really sort of send them out into the world. And this is sort of a moment that they've all been dreaming of, right? And so we're going to encourage them this morning and all of us in the room to dream again, to continue dreaming. And I'm pretty sure students have been dreaming of this moment to be able to be a little bit more independent. Maybe there's a little bit of fear. Maybe there's a little bit of anxiety as these next steps of independence are looming just on the other side of graduation. But there's excitement in that as well. And I'm sure parents, you've been sort of dreaming of this moment as well. Like now they're actually going to go out and do this and you don't have to do every single thing for them anymore. At least you're hoping that, right? And also maybe you're a little bit fearful and anxious as well. Teachers, if there's teachers in here, I'm sure you've been dreaming of this moment as well. Hey, you get a summer now to be able to kind of hang out, relax, I think, most of you anyway, if you're teachers, and you've been able to watch your students sort of progress through this journey and into this next stage of life. And so graduation is really just this landmark moment in our life, and we all have these landmark moments. We all have these times or these seasons in life in which we are sort of shown new perspectives and new ways in which God is wanting us to continue living our life and to hopefully continue living our lives for him. And so I'm going to give you a little bit of the way of my landmark moments through the use of wearing some hats, okay? You know, we all wear different hats through life and sort of things like that. And so I'm going to do this. Hopefully this will engage some of you. I know there's a lot of children in the room this morning, so you can look at me and watch me be a fool and get engaged a little bit with that. So I'm going to give you some of these, and these are going to sort of identify some major areas or seasons of my life, okay? So the first one here I have over here, I'm going to get this. My parents are going to get a kick out of this one. They're here today. So, all right, this hat here. Here we go. So this hat represents, as you can see, it fits me very well. This hat sort of represents my childhood. Now, I didn't really run around wearing this hat every single day, but it is found in a picture, and I wish I actually had it. I should have asked my parents for it. I have it somewhere. I could have found it anyway, but I'm sitting on my dad's knee, and it's just sort of this picture that I'll never, you know, forget. It's always a special moment. And so this is sort of representing my childhood, the season of my childhood, is which I was learning, and as I was understanding what it meant to be alive in this world, and eventually what it meant to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. So this is sort of my first hat, and this sort of takes me through my childhood and all sorts of, you know, and even honestly up through graduation. I could have used the cliche graduation hat. I couldn't find mine. It's gone somewhere. I don't know, whatever. This hat is similar, and you're probably like, did you really wear these hats? Like, honestly, I've apparently gotten a bigger head since this, because it's still a little small for me, and I actually did wear this hat a lot. I wore this hat when I actually graduated college, and I went out to work in Yellowstone National Park for a summer with all of my college friends for one last shindig before we ran out and did our own things in the world, and it was like the greatest summer of my life. It was amazing, and so I learned adventure. I learned that I connect deeply with God through creation, as I was immersed in his creation. And so that summer was a landmark moment for my life, and it really sort of started to put into perspective how I personally connect with God. And so this is one of those moments with that. Now, this next hat isn't really a hat, but it's more of a headpiece. It's not too crazy. Don't freak out or anything. All right, so this one here. All right, I've acknowledged this before in here. So, man, I did. My head's bigger. Perfectly fit me when I was younger. So this is when I just first moved out here. I started a ministry called Enemy Opposition. I've talked about that in this room before. It was a skate park ministry. We traveled around. And so this hat represents a lot for me. It represents ministry. It represents me understanding how God wanted to use me in some unique ways as I interacted with people who wouldn't step foot into a church. Also, while wearing this hat, I met my wife, Christy, who you all mostly know, and I had my children. And so this hat really sort of opened the world for me. It opened the world of ministry, and it opened the world of what it meant to be a spouse. It opened the world of what it meant to be a parent. a lot happened during the times I was wearing this hat and or helmet. And so this is just another stage. And then this final one I have, and I could have more, but I don't. Sorry, I got to keep muting this because I'm running around like a crazy person and the microphone's picking it up. All right. This one I acknowledged a few weeks ago. So I should preach the whole rest of the message wearing this and you guys won't be distracted at all. So this is my motorcycle helmet. I grew up in a motorcycle family. I owned a motorcycle about 10 years ago and I sold it and just recently acquired a new one. And so this is sort of just how I relax. It's how I wind down. It's how I fill back up. And also what has happened during the time of this is I entered into official pastoral ministry. I had worked through worship and done a lot of different things with outreach. And so this sort of is my pastoral hat. And it's not typically a pastoral hat, right? But this is sort of how I identify that. And so these are all different stages of life that I've had, all different stages of life that I've been through. I'll leave this one up here just for good measure so I don't have to walk around anymore. But all of us have these moments in our life. All of us have these landmark moments or at least seasons in our life in which we can be like, you know what? God was doing something there. And now looking back, I can see what that was like. So my point to all of this today, as I start this morning, is that we're going to find ourselves in a landmark moment in a season of Israel, specifically Judah, the southern kingdom of Israel. We learned about this in the Old Testament challenge back in the beginning of the year. And we're going to be reading in the book of Joel. And Joel is a minor prophet, not because he has a minor message to give, but because it's a smaller book. It's got three chapters in it. It's very easy to read. But there's a ton of information in this book that we're going to dive into. Joel's name literally means Yahweh is God. And that is his declaration to the people of Judah, that Yahweh is God, and specifically even in hard times. God is God even in the midst of darkness, of confusion, of heartache. And if we dig into the historical setting of Joel, it's quite possible that we will find that God is prophetically reminding us of that very same truth today. Now, we jump into these prophetic books, and people are like, oh, great, awesome, you're going to talk about end times. Not really, because here's the point of this book and how we're going to look at it this morning. Prophecy, the purpose of prophecy in the Bible is not so much about foretelling future events. Yes, that is part of it. But the biblical prophecy is far more about speaking against sin and injustices in the life of the listener, then and now, because those things matter to God. It matters to God that we are freed from sin, that we are turned towards him, even in the midst of heartache. And so specifically in this scene that we're going to read, Joel is speaking about a plague of locusts that is so big, it's like an invading army. And we don't know if it's really like just an analogy for a future army invasion or what, but what we believe is that it's most likely actually was a plague of physical locusts that came in and sort of destroyed the area. And now Joel is also using that to paint a picture of what it could look like when an invading army may come in and attack them in the near future. Or even to the time when God comes back and redeems all of creation in the future day of Christ's return. And so we see that take place. But because of this catastrophe that's taking place, Joel opens his letter by saying this. In Joel 1, 2 through 4, he says this. Hear this, you elders. Listen, all who live in the land. Has anything like this ever happened in your days or in the days of your ancestors? Tell it to your children and let your children tell it to their children and their children to the next generation. Now, just think of that in the modern day context. We could say that, we could say those specific words to the people around us right now. Have you ever seen anything like 2020 happen? Tell it to your children. Have them tell it to their children. Have them tell it to their children. There's importance of remembering these things. And it's no doubt that all of us are never going to forget the year of 2020. I saw somebody post a Facebook meme recently, and it's actually really pretty hilarious. It says, I think we can stop bragging about living through the blizzard of 77 if you're from Buffalo. 2020 wins. And I'm sorry if you lived through that and it was a horrible time, but I think 2020 does win. But so there's this reality. We don't forget these events. And unfortunately, I think a lot of us have looked over this past year and we've looked at our young people, the people that we're celebrating today, our graduates, and even those that are going to be graduating in upcoming years. And we think, man, this whole last year just destroyed them. It screwed them up. There's so much anxiety. There's so much depression. There's so much heartache. Suicide rates are up. And it's true. It's been rough. It's been a challenge. But in the midst of that, we can learn from that and we can leverage that for good. And that is what Joel is encouraging the people of Israel to do, the people of Judah to do, especially even the young people, telling them they're not going to miss out on what's ahead because of what has just happened. Because the reality is, I think amazing things have also happened over the course of this past year and a half. I have seen massive amounts of hope in this next generation coming up. Individuals, young adults, students, stepping up for what they believe in, taking these challenges, and it has sharpened them and made them better. And we need to empower them to continue moving in that direction. And I believe that even as we see that in our young people today, Joel saw that in the young people back then as well. And specifically in Joel 2, 28 through 32, Joel says this. The Lord, through Joel, says this. And afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That is key, and we'll get to that in a minute. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. And that's where I really want to sit this morning. You see, Joel's main concern as a prophet is how do the people respond in the midst of calamity? How do the people respond? Yes, he's foretelling of future events. He's using this plague of locusts as an analogy of what God will do. But he's going to do that if they don't turn from their ways. The point of this is that the people will turn to God in the midst of calamity. The point is that even through COVID, we turn to God and not the things around us and try and fulfill our needs and our desires and our wants and things that we're lacking with everything of the world that is around us, but that we continue to turn to Jesus. And Joel reminds the people of Judah that, and we are reminded of that truth today. You see, calamity is an event causing great and often sudden damage or distress. It's a disaster. We've experienced something similar to that. And as we struggle with that ourselves, Joel reminds us that our response is essential, that we need to trust God, who God is, and how God has acted in the past, because God gives us evidence that he will not fail us. In the midst of calamity, do we turn to God with our cares and concerns? In the midst of calamity, do we turn to God with our cares and concerns? I've mentioned the 100-day challenge a couple times now, and we did that in the beginning of this year from January up until Easter. And through that, we saw the promises of God over and over and over again fulfilled. God would say to the Israelites, listen, if you follow me and do the things that I have instructed you to do, things will go your way, and I will bless you. But if you turn from me, there will be wrath and destruction. And those promises came true, both positive and negative. Both of them. God's word never failed. Sometimes it was at the demise of the people because they didn't listen to his words. But when they listened and when they obeyed, it was incredible. And God blessed them. And we can use that. And we can look back at that. We can see all that took place in the Old Testament and have confidence and hope that God's promises will endure through calamity even today. And we can look all throughout the New Testament and see the very same things happening. When God promises an outpouring of his spirit because of his past, because of his history, we should believe him. And so in verses 28 and 29, as I already read, he says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. You see, Joel, as a prophet, is promising that the people of God, the people that God will get them through, and the young people are not going to miss out because of this calamity that took place. The youth coming up through the communities would follow God, and in fact, they too would be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Looking through history, God has never failed to pass on his message to a new generation. We're still talking about it over 2,000 years later. Just as powerful, just as real as it was back then. Last month, we did our Unstoppable series, and we focused on the church in Acts, the birth of the church, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit given to the followers of Jesus Christ. That same Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of Jesus Christ himself, was made available to them. That same Spirit, the very Spirit of Jesus Christ himself, is available to each and every one of you in this room. And guess what? Its power hasn't decreased. It hasn't been limited. It hasn't faded away over time. It is still there. It is still strong. It is still powerful. And it is available to all. To all. And I think this message that Joel has for Israel, for Judah, is also true for us today. And that's this. Young people in this room, you are the church now. You are the church now. If you have acknowledged that Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior, you are filled with the same Spirit, with the same power that filled the early disciples and apostles in Acts. It's the same Spirit. It's alive and active, and it's in you now. Because there is no junior Holy Spirit. Yes, you will grow in your faith. You will become more and more like Jesus each and every day. You will understand more and more as you continue to progress through life what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. But God wants to work in you today. He wants to work in you now. There's no reason to wait. Like the generation rising up after the plague that Joel speaks of, you are the hope of the church now. Not just the graduates, but all of you young people in here. No matter how young you are, that Spirit of God is alive in you and is wanting to do something in you, powerful and dynamic. In a world in which people are called to live out the fruit of the Spirit, peace, patience, love, kindness, self-control, in a world in which we are meant to be a people of hope, healing, and grace, in a world that is done in holy communion and celebrating the work of God in all that is around us, a world where the gifts of the Spirit are in abundance, a world in which we give ourselves for the sake of others, like we've talked about in the past couple weeks, young people, graduates, students, children, you are a part of that world. You have the ability to stand up and be a force in the presence of God, in the kingdom of God, here and now. But I want to pause for a second because, yes, we're celebrating graduates. Yes, we're focusing on young people. But this promise isn't just for young people. It's for all people. We all have a part of this. We all have something that we can contribute to this. This promise is for all ages, all generations, men and women, those high in the chain of command and those low. All people are welcome into the family of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. All of us. Each and every one of us can claim this. God is inviting us to look with hope towards tomorrow through his Holy Spirit. It's not about returning to the past, but it's about dreaming about what God can continue to do through each and every one of us. It's about looking at what took place over the course of these last 18 months and learning from it and doing something incredible with it. Joel said to them, and he says to you today, dream dreams again. Dream dreams again. Be inspired to go out. We might be in a tough spot, but we're coming out of it, and it looks exciting. It's amazing to see more things opening up. And God isn't done yet. At Watermark, we say our vision is to be an undeniable force of hope, healing, and grace, impacting generations to come. Impacting generations to come. Generations to come. Do we believe that? Do we believe that? It's very easy to look around and see all of the ways that the next generation is getting things wrong. But it's also very easy to overlook and not even acknowledge all of the things the next generation is getting right. Because they're doing so many incredible things. They're a part of this. You're a part of this. There's a space to mourn culture. There's a space to mourn death. It's not that we ignore it and don't think and just dismiss it like it didn't happen. terrible things happened over the course of the past 18 months. Terrible things happen every day. We can learn from those. We can be empowered by those, and we can continue to forge ahead this kingdom of God that God wants to continue pushing his message out to all who do not yet know him, and we can be a part of that. These hats that we talked about at the beginning, hats, helmets, whatever you want to call these things, they identify how each and every one of us go through life and our perspective of God's big master plan is shifted a little bit. We get to experience a different vantage point from all of these moments in our lives. The highs, the lows, the seasons, all of them give us an additional glimpse at the vision and the master plan that God has for us. As I walked through these stages of life for myself, I saw more and more of what God was, who he was, how he wanted to work in and through me. I learned more and more about that as I continued to walk through life and wear different hats at different times. It's the same for you. Because it's not that God's plan has ever changed, nor that the vision of God has changed. But it's that our perspective of it continues to change through the seasons of life that we're a part of. Graduates, you're a part of a brand new season. You're right on the cusp of experiencing independence in a whole new way. Young people, you're doing that. Maybe you're even just graduating from elementary school to middle school, or middle school to high school, or from college into the workforce. All different levels, all different times in our life, all different perspectives of how we can take and handle the things that we've been given each and every day. And so graduates, you're about to enter into a different world, a challenging world. Trust me, it's challenging. As a parent, it's challenging. There are so many things out there trying to grab your attention, to consume your attention, to tear you away from what matters most, to get caught up and stuck in petty arguments that completely destroy relationships. He wants you to stay focused on him. In the midst of tension, in the midst of learning and seeing new perspectives, are you clinging to and focusing on God? Graduates, that's your job. And it's our job as adults as well to do the very same thing, but also give those students a place to do it. Allow them to experiment. Allow them to fail, but in the safety of our circle of influence. I mean, we all go through life and we learn from our failures. And it's amazing to give young people the opportunity to step out boldly and maybe at times fail, but be there to encourage them, to pick them up, to help them move forward so that they can do even greater things, having learned from the past, not allowing the past to suck them down, but learning from the past to project them forward. And that's what we can do as adults. Verse 32 says this. I've already read it, but I'll read it again. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. Jesus invites all people to himself. Jesus invites all of us into a relationship with him, all of us to be adopted into his family. Regardless of our past, regardless of our sins, we can acknowledge, Jesus, you are Lord, and I know that you are a God that demands wrath, but you have done that through the power and through the sacrifice of your son, Jesus Christ, and taken that judgment and taken that wrath that I deserve. And so I acknowledge that, and now I sit under the umbrella of Jesus and his blood, and you now see me as perfect. You now see me as righteous. But guess what? People still don't understand that. People still don't know that. And we still need to tell them about that. And our next generation coming up can do that. And they already are doing that. This generation will be, has been, and is currently influential in sharing this good news. And I mentioned back at the beginning, the fact that maybe we look out and we see all these things taking place that are negative, or all of the darkness and depression and anxiety that's filling our students. But we also see so many good things. And I'm reminded of students specifically here in the loft at our South Creek campus who are leaders of their peers. Students who are stepping up at a young age to lead worship for their peers. Students who are stepping up at a young age to speak to their peers over at the loft. Students at a young age who are influential in their schools and being a positive influence and positive example in the arts and in school and in community. It's happening all over. Students in this room who are standing up for the rights of individuals who are oppressed, standing up against abortion, all sorts of different things that I have seen students in this room do. And it's incredible to see that. And we need to continue to empower them to do those things, to continue to bring this message to the next generation. Because listen, the message of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ, is not going to stop. It is going to continue. The Holy Spirit is going to continue to push it forward because he has for the last 2,000 years, and he's going to continue to do it for as long as he needs to until he comes back. And yes, one day he will come back. Yes, as Joel says, the skies will turn dark. And sometimes it looks like it might be around the corner. I don't know. But what's important is that we turn towards God so we're prepared regardless of when that happens. That is what Joel is encouraging the people of Judah to do. And that is what I am encouraging you to do. And the students in this room are a massive part of that. And we have to be excited for that. And we have to enable them and empower them. The message of Jesus will continue forward regardless. Part of the mission here is that we participate with the Holy Spirit. So are we grabbing on to what the Holy Spirit is already doing? Because that's what I want to do. I hope you do too. Maybe you're in this room and you have not fully understood the reality of entering into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe this power, this spirit that I speak to you of is foreign to you and it's not something that you've embodied yet. It's here for you this morning. The message of God has made it for over 2,000 years and it's laying before you today, right now, for you to make a choice and receive it. It's for you. In each and every one of us are a link in the chain of God's master plan to bring all people to him. Adults, we can empower young people. Young people, you have the power to begin doing that right now. And I want you to be encouraged with that. So at this time, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to close at the end of the service by praying over our young people in the room together. But let me pray at this time. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that you have given us, that you've empowered each and every one of us with, that each and every one of us in this room, as long as we acknowledge that you are Jesus, Lord of our lives, have the power of you yourself, Jesus Christ, living within us, regardless of our age. You want to use us. You want to work through us in powerful and dynamic ways. And so, Lord, I ask that you would do that. Lord, I acknowledge that you are Savior. If anybody else in this room needs to acknowledge that you are Savior, acknowledge now that Jesus is Lord. That you are a sinner, that I am a sinner, that we cannot do this life without Jesus Christ, that we deserve to be punished, that we deserve the wrath of God, but God loved us so much that he gave us Jesus, and we thank you so much for that, God. Allow the blood of Jesus to wash over each and every one of us in this room in a powerful and dynamic way. And Lord, again, we thank you for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Let us cling to it. Let us grab onto it. Let us participate with you as you go forward regardless. We want to be with you. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.